Today's Stu Peters Show brought to you by StepOnSocks.com. Go over to StepOnSocks.com right now and get yourself a three-pack of these 100% Patriot-designed, all-cotton, high-quality socks. A three-pack for just $17.76 featuring the name of the globalist, the snakes that you would love to step on. Obama, Clinton, Fauci, Gates, Pelosi, Biden. Their names on the bottom of the classic version. There are Whitmer versions, Pence versions, Cuomo versions. But my favorite is the Trust in God sock. These are red-pilling people, making people begin having the uncomfortable, truthful conversations that we need to be having around here. They're conversation starters. And most importantly, they show your faith. Go to StepOnSocks.com right now for those socks that I mentioned. Plus, they have silver at StepOnSocks.com, as well as Second Amendment flags. Go to StepOnSocks.com right now. Get huge discounts when you mention Stu Peters at StepOnSocks.com. The Stu Peters Show begins right now. Mondays are always great. The start of a new week here, the 13th of September, 2021. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu Peters. There's an absolute sickness taking hold of America, and it's not COVID-19. It's a sickness in the minds and hearts of American healthcare professionals. A couple weeks ago, we told you about a series of doctors at the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. Doctors whose advice to unvaccinated patients is just to please go and die. Doctors who literally fantasize about being able to turn away sick patients and tell them, it's too late. We learned about another insane case last week from Chelsea Walls. She's a nurse at Parkview Medical Center in Colorado. Bravely, she came forward, and according to Walls, that hospital's CEO is a woman called Leslie Barnes. Barnes is actually seeking out doctors willing to refuse care to people that choose against the COVID shots being called vaccines. Leslie Barnes, a CEO at a hospital, is encouraging actual medical care providers to let you die if you've decided against this inoculation, that in just a short time, according to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, has caused almost double the amount of deaths than all previously approved vaccines combined. Here's a story over the weekend from National File. This one from the Novant Health New Hanover Regional Medical Center, which treats patients in the Carolinas. In a leaked Zoom call, Dr. Mary Rudick throws around ideas about how they need to make COVID more scary to the public. Her idea? Lie. Her idea, which is brilliant, is to take patients who have recovered from COVID-19 but are still hospitalized for other ailments or for monitoring or additional recovery and just keep counting them as COVID-19 cases, inflating the numbers. Just lie. Just count them as something that they aren't and then feed them to the unsuspecting public. She wants to do this to communicate the message that, quote, if you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. And of course, we know that that's a lie too. Most of the population is at virtually zero risk from COVID. The overall fatality rate is less than 2%. Even if you're over 80, you don't know you're going to die. The odds of death for that group of people is still below 20%. And we know these things because lots of countries have kept lots of data about COVID-19. It'd be nice if we were collecting that kind of honest data about the vaccines we're trying to force the whole country to take, but instead, the Biden administration is outwardly suppressing that information also. Filling in for Tucker Carlson last Friday, Lara Logan revealed something stunning. Until this summer, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, required employees to collect and retain records of any workers who suffered serious side effects from a vaccine. But in June, OSHA suddenly jettisoned that requirement. Proof gone. OSHA used to exist to make sure that your employers couldn't abuse you. Now, they're ordering your employees to abuse you. Your employers, rather. This is the direction that our medical tyranny is going. In a sane country, we'd have doctors give advice to the public to achieve the best outcomes. In Biden's America, we have public health officials maximizing their control with decrees and a heaping of lies. Nicole Landers is an RN with 20 years of experience. She's cared for thousands of patients throughout her career, and she says that she is deeply troubled by dramatic changes that she's seen just since late February, and she joins us now. Nicole, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Stu.
So you've been there firsthand. We've been reporting here on the Stu Peters Show the very concerning numbers, adverse events, and deaths. But from a firsthand source, is it true that COVID injection recipients are in fact experiencing significant harmful health impacts.
Yes, it's absolutely true. I've seen many, many cases of it. I talk with colleagues and peers all across the country who are also seeing it. We're not talking about fevers, chills, malaise. We're talking about strokes, heart attacks, blood clots, severe cognitive impairments, loss of balance, inability to walk, Guillain-Barre. It's absolutely shocking, Stu.
So early on, a woman came forward. She went viral on Instagram. She was diagnosed with that Guillain-Barre. There are people taking self-recorded videos, putting them all over the internet, only later to be suppressed, canceled, and deleted, because you're not allowed to say anything negative about something that is killing a record-smashing, eye-popping, unprecedented amount of people in just such a short time. What's happening in our medical community? Why are these doctors refusing early treatment and openly discriminating or outright refusing care to people who choose against these COVID shots?
Stu, I have no other answer for it than complete cognitive dissonance and deception. Severe deception. I can't explain it. I've never experienced anything like it. I was talking to a colleague this morning. In all of our history, we've never discriminated against a patient that smokes or ate their way into diabetes and heart disease or overdosed on drugs and now they're on life support. Never once have we discriminated against care, yet with all of a sudden with these shots, we're watching patients come into the hospitals left and right, and you can't even bring up the fact that it might be the shot. I had a patient not long ago who ended up with Bell's palsy, and the clinicians documented the diagnoses as idiopathic Bell's palsy. Well, for any medical staff that's out there listening, if you've just had a vaccine and then you're diagnosed with idiopathic Bell's palsy, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's clearly the vaccine.
So for those people viewing, listening that don't know what idiopathic means, that would mean we don't know what caused it. This thing just happened out of the blue. We have no idea what's causing this. So let me ask you, the people that are presenting with these symptoms, are they younger, typically more healthy people, these people with the myocarditis, the people having strokes, heart issues?
They're all ages, Stu. I can't say that I've seen one category more than the other. In my experiences collaborating, in my personal professional experiences, I work with the older population. So I do see a lot of the 65 plus being impacted. I did a data collection from February till August 6th or 7th, I think. And it was close to 30% of all hospital utilization I observed were coming in for vaccine related events.
The media is insane. No matter what channel you turn on, I mean, regrettably, I watched the VMAs last night on MTV. I felt like I needed to take a shower afterwards. I mean, this is the most dirty, demonic, satanic thing I've ever seen in my life. I watched it on purpose for the purpose of being informed because of this platform that I have. But this is like a media-wide constant 24-hour vaccine infomercial. Fox News, all these people pushing you to go get jabbed with this thing that they know is killing people, and they are refusing to report this to people. Those are the people that are going to say, well, Stu had this Nicole Landers on, but she didn't say whether or not these people coming in were sickly people or had pre-existing conditions or underlying diagnoses. So I want you to clear that up. Are these people that are suffering these adverse events, people who have been chronically ill?
Sometimes, yes, do. Sometimes they do, particularly with my population. They're older. Some of them have comorbidities, but medically stable and documentedly medically stable. If you have a documentedly medically stable 65-year-old who has no history of heart disease, come in with a massive MI or a stroke or blood clots in the legs, within a couple of weeks of the shot, there's no question that something has gone tragically wrong and suddenly.
Now, in your email, you said that what you've seen since late February has been particularly disturbing.
Yes.
So you've been doing this for 20 years. Since late February, when these shots came out, what you're saying is that this type of patient has exponentially increased?
Yes, they have. Without doubt, I want to confirm your ICU nurse. Absolutely, they've increased. This isn't just me. I talk to nurses and physicians all over the country. We're all seeing it. I would dare to say that even some of those who aren't willing to talk about it or try to deny it, they also see it. I can't explain aside from cognitive dissonance, but this is absolute fact. It's happening all over the place, and it's happening regularly.
Wouldn't cognitive dissonance suggest that these doctors have no idea what's really going on? I mean, this seems more intentionally deceptive to me. This seems like they're participating in, I don't know how else to say it, but murder for money. I mean, this remdesivir, these ventilators, you go ahead, you talk, you're the expert.
So it's hard for me to speak to motive. I think there's a lot of care providers out there who went in and took an oath to do no harm. I can't make sense of this cognitive blockade they have where they absolutely won't listen, won't consider, won't really clinically, critically think. I don't want to speak to motive on some of the boots on the ground personnel, but I certainly want to say this. They are failing at taking at their oaths. They are failing to provide standard of care, and it is gross negligence.
Have you personally, and you were talking about Chelsea Walls, that's the ICU nurse that came forward here on this program and told us about Leslie Barnes, the CEO at her hospital, who's actually asking doctors, would you consider just refusing treatment to unvaccinated people? I mean, that's insane. She said that when she goes and talks to them about ivermectin and things like that, that it just falls on deaf ears. They stop the conversation. They don't want to hear it. Have you had the same experience?
Oh, I absolutely have. A couple of weeks ago, I helped some patients who had been denied care. They're unvaxxed. They did not get quality care. They were not given early intervention, sent home from the hospital. They were very, very sick, Stu. And I redirected them to a telehealth service outside of the healthcare system who was able to prescribe the early treatments. And within 72 hours, they were up and running again. And the wife was back to work and COVID negative. This was a woman who was on the floor in the bathroom, unable to breathe or walk or help take care of her family. And 72 hours later, she was well.
How did she get well?
Ivermectin and the early treatment protocols.
But hold on a minute. Ivermectin is for horses. This is horse paste, right? I mean, that is what Newsweek is going to tell millions of people, that, you know, there was a prominent person or a well-known person in Chicago who died early this morning because they refused her ivermectin. Newsweek came out with a smash piece on that, and we're going to get into more of that in just a minute for everybody that's paying attention. We'll have Dr. Jane Ruby here to talk more about that particular death. But this is the message being sent to millions of unsuspecting Americans, that she died because QAnon conspiracy theorists wanted to force the hospital to give her ivermectin. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. This is insane. This is an FDA-approved drug, has been for decades. This is a drug that has virtually zero adverse side effects, negative side effects.
That's right.
This remdesivir was tested for an Ebola study and was the leading cause of death due to kidney failure and was only, up until recently, not FDA-approved. But this was the CDC NIH protocol that was handed down through the Epic systems and all these other things that direct care providers how to care for their patients, plus a ventilator. And we are experiencing massive amounts of death due to kidney failure, the flooding of the lungs, ventilator, and then dead. And they have to be seeing this. I mean, don't they know that what they're doing is wrong? These are doctors.
It's shocking and appalling, and it makes no sense. And you're absolutely correct. The remdesivir is renal toxic. Then they pressure them down. They set them up for failure. 80% of those who take remdesivir and end up ventilated don't survive. It's absolutely shocking and appalling and utterly unnecessary. Early intervention will halt virtually all of it, not 100%, but virtually all of it. And it is a dereliction of duty in this country amongst the media who portray ivermectin as a stock medication. It won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2015 for its powerful effects at healing. This is absolute madness.
Yeah, and I don't think it got the Nobel Prize because it was saving the Kentucky Derby. I'm just correct. Here to let you know that was because of successful treatment of human beings, saving lives. So I've got about a minute left here. I just want to ask you, how many beds are in your house? Where do you work?
Well, I resigned from my job as a result of the vaccine mandate. I wouldn't accept it, and I also would not submit a religious exemption because that takes away my rights under the Constitution. So I'm now an unemployed nurse.
Okay. At the hospital that you were working at, how many beds did you have there?
Well, I worked for a healthcare system, and there were literally thousands of beds.
Okay. And when you left, were they full of Delta patients like we're being told in the media?
Absolutely not.
There were a lot of open beds?
Oh, yes. There were plenty of open beds. There were COVID-positive, fully vaxxed patients that had reached hospital-level intervention. There were some unvaxxed COVID patients, but mostly what I saw was a steady increase in vaccine injured patients. And I'm not talking about just within a couple weeks. As time has progressed and the data has evolved, these patients are having increasing health impacts as the months go along.
I got to go, but I got to ask you this. Were there more COVID patients, COVID positive patients, or patients there admitted for COVID that were vaccinated recently than were unvaccinated?
I wish I could answer that, Stu, but I don't have access to that kind of data. In my own data that I saw, it was roughly equivalent at the time that I saw that data.
All right. So we're being fed a mouthful of lies by the media and by this regime, this so-called administration, this illegitimate administration. We're being fed lies by our healthcare providers. We saw the lies. They're actually cooking it up on a Zoom meeting. Let's just lie to these people. Let's just tell them this. We see that the faux president here is telling OSHA, an organization that is meant to keep employers from abusing their employees, is actually now telling them, ordering them, that they are required to hide information in order to be able to successfully abuse their employees. It's insane. I don't know what else to say about it. Nicole Landers, you're very brave for coming forward. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Yes, you as well.
Staying out of the hospitals right now is the best thing that you can possibly do. Staying healthy. We've talked about things that you can take prophylactically to stay healthy. We've talked about early treatment protocols. We also have to think about detoxing. I was looking in a lot of places. I finally found the one that I like, and it's this zeolite right here. This cleanses your entire body of toxins, and specifically, the thing that we're talking about the most recently, it detoxes heavy metals. That's why I was most interested in zeolite. All the pollutants, this is the original nano-sized zeolite detoxifier. Now, this is a 100% natural liquid. It's purified to perfection in a cGMP facility. It's non-GMO. It makes it the ideal support for your whole body health. It eliminates the toxins for your improved health. Supports your body's natural immunity, restful sleep, sustained energy, clarity, focus. It eliminates all of these toxins. So I contacted these people after being on this thing for a couple of weeks, and they agreed to give all of you Stu Peters Show listeners $5 bottles. $5 bottles right now if you go to poisondetox.com. And unlike powdered zeolites, this Pure Body Extra uses unique activated hydrated zeolite optimized to reach a cellular level because it's nano-sized. It's all natural, full body detox, and it attacks those heavy metals. Go to Poison Detox right now. Join me in taking this stuff. Join over 50,000 satisfied people in taking this stuff right now. $5 bottles at poisondetox.com right now. Go to poisondetox.com. Well, I'm sure that many of you have heard by now the sad news about Veronica Wolsky, best known for the People's Bridge in Chicago, where she held banners explaining to people that they had medical freedom. And she was proven wrong, because last night she was denied the right to try, and it led to her death. She was mistreated in these hospitals that Dr. Jane Ruby has referred to as the ovens, comparing them to 1930s Nazi-ruled Germany. Dr. Jane Ruby joins us now with more on this. So you've heard about Veronica Wolsky. Obviously, this is going to be used and twisted and morphed. It already is being used by Newsweek, and I'll get to that in just a second here, as propaganda to push people more towards this jab and away from early treatment protocols that actually work.
Yeah, people are getting the message, unfortunately, Stu, that, you know, if you don't take the jab, you're going to be at the back of the line when you go to a hospital, which is absolutely absurd. You know, Veronica Wolsky's death by medicine is unfortunately not an isolated story. The Stu Peters Show and I have been at the forefront of reporting this growing horror in America's hospitals, including my recent segment that you referred to, where I call them the new ovens, because, you know, unsuspecting Jews were sent to their deaths. And likewise, so people think when they go to a hospital right now that they're going there for help, but they quickly learn that something's very, very wrong. Look, it's becoming clear that through Veronica's story, really, that though, and those of many other people that write to us every single day, that hospitals are using some kind of lockstep protocol to treat people they deem to be COVID positive. That's one problem. And it's resulting in greater illness, more suffering, and a hastened death, higher death numbers. I'm thinking this is likely for reimbursement purposes, but it includes the following things, and you can all follow along. Number one, withholding life-saving FDA-approved treatments like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Number two, pushing dangerous drugs like remdesivir, which is another experimental drug that is under an emergency use authorization in the U.S. right now, which barely separated from placebo in its trial so far. That's still an ongoing trial. And remdesivir is now known and becoming more famous for causing serious kidney damage and, in a lot of cases, complete renal failure. And then people are denied dialysis because they're not jabbed. Number three, this is probably the most horrific part, coaxing or forcing people in the ICU already feeling sick into becoming chemically sedated, intubated, and then attached to a mechanical ventilator, which does nothing more than exacerbate lung damage by kind of forcing air into an already damaged, irritated lung tissue. And all the while, Stu, and this is the case over and over and over again, family or other advocates are banned from the hospital. They're relegated to the parking lots where they can only text or call. And I think this is so that they can't interfere with this protocol. You know, my question to everyone is, look, how did our hospitals become the new killing fields? I mean, look, I've managed patient care in a number of ICUs. You have to picture this. This is an intense unit. These ICUs are filled with numerous specialists 24/7. They're resident in those units, right? Unlike a normal patient floor, if you need something in an emergency situation, they call a code. Those specialists come rushing to that unit. And then hopefully, you know, you're resuscitated, you make it. In an ICU, everything's always like on a DEFCON 1 status. So respiratory therapists are there, resident on the unit. There's got to be a huge number of doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, all kinds of witnesses, technicians rather, witnessing these atrocities. And yet we have all this, we have not a peep and all this collusion.
Yeah, well, there are some peeps being made. Here's Newsweek in an article that I'm reading this, and as I'm reading this and listening to you, my blood is just boiling. I'm telling you, I'm getting really so emotionally worked up in this whole thing, and it's my job to stay fact-based, but it's really difficult to look at fellow Americans succumbing to this thing. We just talked to Nicole Landers, who's a 20-year nurse, who said that absolutely people are dying from this jab. I just read one story about how now they want to go sub 12-year-old age, and they want to push this thing on. I mean, when are they going to just be injecting this thing in vitro, right? Veronica Wolsky, woman who QAnon, this is a Newsweek headline, Veronica Wolsky, woman who QAnoners demanded hospital treat COVID with ivermectin, dies. Woman who became the center of harassment campaign against the Chicago hospital as QAnon supporters demanded they treat her COVID-19 diagnosis with ivermectin has died, according to reports. They go on to talk about how Lynn Wood was updating his Telegram channel followers with this abuse This, she was being held hostage. She was being held prisoner. She was being kept away from her loved ones. I mean, it was watching this happen in real time as we were getting updates from Lynn Wood. We were getting updates from Christopher Key over at the vaccine police. Sidney Powell was talking about this. But listen to this. This is, I think, the part, Dr. Jane, that really irritates me the most. And I'm quoting a Newsweek. Her death was announced on Telegram by conspiracy theorist Lynn Wood, one of the biggest and most influential QAnon supporters. Wood previously urged his 814,000 Telegram followers to ring up the Amida Health Resurrection Medical Center and demand that Wolski be treated with ivermectin. Here we go. Instead of approved and tested drugs and vaccines. So what approved and tested drugs and vaccines is Newsweek referring to? Because let me just, it's my job to stay factual. Remdesivir is not FDA approved. So what approved Correct. Drugs are they talking about? Whereas ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, both FDA approved. And ivermectin, actually the recipient of a Nobel Prize, and I don't believe it was because of horse paste. It's not because they saved the Kentucky Derby, okay? It's because ivermectin saved lives. So first of all, yes. We have remdesivir not approved versus this QAnon conspiracy theory about an FDA approved Nobel Prize winning ivermectin. Then it says approved and tested drugs or vaccines. Well, first of all, the vaccine that is being administered is not approved. As a matter of fact, the approval letter is quite specific. The approved vaccine is for this Comirnaty, or whatever it's called, which is not right. currently in production and won't be in production until late 2023. The only jab that is available right now is from Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, which is under an extended emergency use authorization. So it is not an approved vaccine, the one that is being used right now, the one that our government is mandating that everybody go get. It's not approved. And so
Correct.
People are being misled and fooled by the media, just like this, lied to. Meanwhile, this unapproved, emergency use authorized, horrific shot has led to double the amount of deaths as every other previous vaccine rolled out combined, and that's according to the CDC-monitored Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which is the only system that we have to rely on, despite yeah. the fact that there are 11 other data collection services that we're not allowed to see. Why? Well, presumably because the numbers are not favorable. We have watched, according to VAERS, 14,000 people perish. Hundreds of thousands of adverse events. And this is my final thought on this. It also says tested. Well, how has it been tested? In this very short amount of time, it hasn't been robustly tested for pregnant women. It hasn't been tested any more than, 9 months to a year? And the only test that I can see is the obvious test. Americans and global citizens are dying at alarming rates after receiving this inoculation. And Newsweek and Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, all of them, Newsmax included, all of these so-called fair, honest journalists are nothing more than propaganda machines for the killing left that wants to push you towards this thing with no threshold for injury, no threshold for death, and people are experiencing life-changing, prolonged, long-term, permanent diagnoses, Guillain-Barré, tremors, multiple sclerosis, we have heard, and worse, death.
Right.
So what can I ask you, would you speculate, as an expert pharmaceutical researcher who has worked with pharmaceutical research for a period of 20 years, what is it that you would speculate is Newsweek talking about when they're referencing approved and tested drugs and vaccines?
Well, it's very clear that they're pushing a narrative that enables these pharmaceutical companies to get in front of already approved drugs. You know, when something is approved by the FDA, it indicates that it has, like ivermectin and HCQ, it's a signal that they have completed their trials and submitted the requisite, the right type of data, and that they did demonstrate in comparison to placebo efficacy of their drug and safety in not just the primary population, but subpopulations, like you mentioned, pregnant women, children, things like that. That was never done here. But let me, in addition to the questions, Stu, about how is it that so many professionals in these hospitals are participating in these death protocols, let me take this to another level for everyone. Why aren't hospitals being held accountable for justifying this protocol that I just laid out? Remdesivir to damage your kidneys, blocking from the drugs that do work, and putting you on a ventilator to hasten your death. Hospitals have an obligation. It starts with their own internal quality assurance departments, and they should be on their tail every month, looking at numbers, watching rates of death and morbidity that is coming out of their hospitals. Where is that happening? And then on top of that, Stu, there are accrediting bodies like the Joint Commission that should be swooping in right now to investigate the high death rates in these ICUs. Look, anybody can go to jointcommission.org. I urge you to do it. You can file a citizen's concern, complaint of concern and safety against any hospital, against this one in Chicago last night, or any hospital where your loved one or someone you know has been forced into these death enhancing protocols. But look, another thing that's happening, and we're starting to report more and more on this, hospitals across the country are reportedly losing about 25 to 30% of their staff right now because they're threatening them. They're threatening and firing the jab holdouts, which is leading to services closing down. Now, yesterday we saw Lewis County Medical Center CEO hold a press conference, and he said that they're shutting down their maternity ward, their services, starting on September 24th due to staff shortages. And he went on to say, Stu, that those staff shortages were in the maternity department because those nurses are refusing to take the injections. 30 of them out of the 37 have already resigned. We also saw yesterday that the 30% of the entire nursing staff at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, and I work there, it's huge, let me tell you, have been resigning due to their vaccine mandate. Many of them indicated in a survey to the hospital that's actually kind of stopped that hospital in its tracks to some degree, that the reason for refusing the jabs is that they've seen an unprecedented number of heart attacks in otherwise healthy teenagers and young adults after getting these injections within a few weeks. So they are like willingly refusing and giving up their jobs because of this. And lastly, a recruiter from Ohio's St. Elizabeth Healthcare System has confirmed that they're having trouble recruiting even the traveling nurses because they refuse to get the jab. And so Stu, the bottom line is we need a new solution here, especially for acute care, because not only have these hospitals failed us on every level, but they are fast becoming the stuff of what horror movies are made of.
How can they legally, I'm just thinking about Wolski as one example, but this is one of tens of thousands of these events that are occurring across the country right now as we speak. And I can say that in my personal email, I have received accounts from family members, from grieving mothers who have lost their children, from relatives of people that are currently being held prisoner by hospitals. Yes. And denied care. Advocates are not being listened to. They're being refused the right to try. How legally can these people be getting away from this? And does this open these doctors up to potential malpractice suits?
I would think so, but who's going to adjudicate it? That's the problem. We have all kinds of violations of law going on, and nothing's happened to it. And Stu, some of the reports that I heard last night are that Wolski had a power of attorney. Not sure if that was a family member or not, but it was somebody with a bona fide power of attorney who was waiting outside with a medical transport capable of moving her, and a physician, licensed physician, who was also outside the hospital waiting for the hospital to execute upon her legal request to leave against what's called AMA, against medical advice. It's the technical term. You have the right to leave at any time, regardless of what the consequences are, if you sign that paper. She was willing to sign it, as the reports say. Her folks were outside, and the police stood there like robots, and they just talked in circles, if you looked at some of the videos, and they refused to honor those legal documents and that power of attorney. It's stunning.
Those cops will be held accountable as well.
I hope
these cops that are out here enforcing things like that and enforcing mask mandates and that will enforce vaccine mandates and your inability to enter certain places of business or to shop for food or water or necessities. The truckers are already threatening to shut down and blockade due to these unconstitutional, illegal, unlawful mandates of an emergency use authorized drug. These are not approved vaccines. They are not approved. Do not let the media lie to you. The approved FDA approval is for something that does not exist. Period. You do not subject yourself to this. These people are going to be, seriously, I mean, we're talking Nuremberg-type situations upcoming. I just, and as far
we're
as
at that level.
As far as who's going to adjudicate
at that
it,
level.
I have to remain in a position, a state of mind, and I got to go here, but I have to, when you say who's going to adjudicate it, I have to remain, I have to hold on to some belief that there is a magistrate or a judge or a court of law in this country that is going to get a case like this and is going to do the right thing and set a precedent. Because this is a genocide. I mean, hospitals are intentionally killing people. Think about this. I mean, at what point in our history do family members, powers of attorney, advocates, patients have no say in their own care? It's insane.
We're there, Stu. We're there.
Dr. Jane Ruby,
time to step up.
Thank you so much for all of your research and for your responsibility. And I'm sorry for getting emotionally involved here, but stay out of the hospitals by any means necessary. Please stay out of the hospitals. Prevent yourself from getting sick. Dr. Jane Ruby, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
You bet.
One of the best ways to stay out of the hospital is to prevent yourself from getting sick in the first place, which is why you should be prophylactically taking something. And this something that I take was designed by Dr. Zev Zelenko. His proprietary ingredients include things that you can get otherwise elsewhere. So if you're already doing this, then great, that's fine. But if you're not, the Z-Stack protocol has everything that you need in one pill that you take twice a day. Dr. Zev Zelenko, who is this guy? Well, he's a Nobel Peace Prize nominee himself, Presidential Medal of Freedom nominee himself, who the media will not talk about for saving thousands of lives in upstate New York. This is the guy who boasts a 99.9% survival recovery rate of high-risk COVID patients. Compare that to what's happening in the ovens, in the kill chambers, known as hospitals, right now. People being trapped, held prisoner, held hostage, being treated with things that they did not consent to. As a matter of fact, being treated against their wishes, things that they are begging for, they are being refused, and they're all dying. It makes me absolutely sick. If you're interested, if you trust Dr. Zev Zelenko, go to ZStackProtocol.com right now. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Stay healthy. Stay out of these places, folks. Here's my PSA for the day. Go to ZStackProtocol.com. Again, ZStackProtocol.com. Well, CNN is a garbage source for most news, but you can count on them for one thing: keeping you informed about what rhinos are doing to ruin the Republican Party. CNN loves rhinos. So here's a story that they had over the weekend about House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Quote, Trump's House GOP enemies get boost from McCarthy's leadership team. And here's what CNN has to say. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and his leadership team are quietly working to prop up some of the GOP incumbents targeted by former President Donald Trump. Half of those 10 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump for inciting the so-called January 6th insurrection, Representatives David Valadao of California, Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington, John Katko of New York, and Fred Upton and Peter Meyer, both of Michigan, participated in a joint fundraising committee with Kevin McCarthy and his leadership pack, which has raised, get this, roughly $100,000 for each of the five campaigns in the first half of this year. The article goes on to mention other assistance that has funneled to the backers of impeachment. McCarthy's own leadership pack had directly given $10,000 to a sixth GOP incumbent supporter, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio. The National Republican Congressional Committee is supposed to be neutral in party primaries, but Chairman Tom Emmer showed up at a Jamie Herrera Butler fundraiser last month anyways. Kevin McCarthy, we have been told, is begging the Trump camp to stay neutral in the primaries for John Katko and David Valadao. Everything about McCarthy's strategy represents the failure of the historical GOP. This guy can only think 2 feet ahead. Anybody who calls themselves a Republican needs to be supported, no matter how badly they've failed their party and, most importantly, failed their constituents. The only thing that Kevin McCarthy cares about is winning as many elections as possible. for the sole purpose of becoming the Speaker of the House. And what would Kevin McCarthy actually do as Speaker of the House? Nothing. Because his majority will be made up of Republicans who don't believe in an America First agenda, and because McCarthy himself won't want to do a thing. And why would he? McCarthy's ideology has always been fake. Anti-abortion as a California lawmaker, pro-life in Congress, where he knows the votes will be mostly symbolic anyways. In 2016, he told other Republicans that he thought Donald Trump was on Vladimir Putin's payroll. Then, of course, he denied saying that, only for a tape of it to leak later. And then, of course, he said it was just a big joke. McCarthy always wants to have it both ways. He supported the withdrawal from Afghanistan while President Trump was in office, then attacked the withdrawal when it actually happened. He voted against certifying electors from disputed states when the Electoral College met, but said he wasn't disputing Biden's victory because he didn't dispute enough votes for it to actually change the outcome. He blamed President Trump for the incident at the U.S. Capitol, then tried to backtrack, but at the same time, listen, he argued for keeping Liz Cheney in GOP leadership after she supported impeaching President Trump. Then backtracked on that also, because he realized how untenable it was. Liz Cheney openly challenged McCarthy's primary in the GOP House conference earlier this year, and yet McCarthy, for a period of time, was silent in the face of the challenge from his left within his own party. McCarthy couldn't even protect his own reputation as a strong leader within his own conference. And now it's clear that Liz Cheney is the alpha male within the House Republican conference. Kevin McCarthy has acquiesced to her, and now Kevin is working for five of Cheney's favorite House reps against President Trump. Kevin McCarthy is like the Republican weather vane. He's weak, he's feeble, he's without any anchor. It doesn't matter if he'll support Trump or vote America First most of the time when his back is to the wall. A creature like this isn't worthy of leading anything, especially representing an America First party. Nobody wants to follow somebody like this. In fact, a lot of the Republicans who supported impeachment are just overall generally better people than McCarthy is. Take Jamie Herrera Butler. She didn't try to have it both ways in January. She said that she was voting for impeachment, and when she faced backlash for it, she doubled down with a long Twitter thread explaining exactly why. Now, I disagree personally, and I think that that decision means she has to be tossed out of the GOP. And fortunately, we have Joe Kent running as a much superior alternative. But at least Herrera Butler knew the decision that she was making. She's a woman, or so we're told, but she has more balls than Kevin McCarthy ever will. Lauren Witzke is a former Delaware senator, candidate for Senate. I always get this thing mixed up. And she's an America First political commentator. She's a Stu Peters Show contributor, and she joins us now. Because I keep wanting to say that you are a senator. You garnered more votes than any other Republican in the history of your state. Even more votes in 2020 as a first-time candidate than Trump had in 2016 in your state. Anyways, so Kevin McCarthy seems to be lacking any testicular fortitude whatsoever. Herrera Butler and Liz Cheney seem to have his manhood in their purse or some sort of a jar on their desk. How did this happen? Where did McCarthy's balls go?
Well, you know, like you said, it is all about he wants to be House Speaker so bad he can taste it. He's willing to do anything, subvert any agenda in order to get what he wants. This goes all the way back to 2015. Kevin McCarthy was supposed to be the House Speaker. He was their guy. It was set up for him. However, he had an affair with Renee Elmer, which came out. So he ended up losing the opportunity to be, she was a nurse in North Carolina, but he lost his opportunity to be House Speaker back then. And then we got stuck with Paul Ryan. But they're all the same guy. They're all on the same team. And we are allowing a man, Kevin McCarthy, to infiltrate our party, to actually decide which candidates are going to get support, which candidates are going to be propped up, that are going to oppose Donald Trump and his agenda, the America First agenda, every step of the way. And this is a long time happening. You know, this happened in 2018 when we had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And Kevin McCarthy, the master of getting votes, miraculously couldn't find enough votes to not pass a budget in making taxpayers fund Planned Parenthood, you know, an issue that the Republican Party claims to care about. But Kevin McCarthy has fallen short on many aspects. And this is who wants to be House leader, House Speaker of our party.
Yeah. So Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney. I mean, these two ought to be kicked right off the conference.
Right.
And we have emailed the Stu Peters Show multiple times, have emailed Minority Leader McCarthy. Of course, we've had no response. Is he going to do it? Do you think that he'll ever do it?
Respond back to you? Absolutely not.
No, no. Do you think that he'll kick Cheney and Kinzinger off the conference? I mean, these two deserve to be kicked off the conference. Will he do it?
No, absolutely not. They're all on the same team. Even the liberal media knows that McCarthy is on their team. Even though he may present himself as a Republican, a pro-Trump Republican, they know firsthand that he is one of theirs. He is controlled opposition, and his job is to keep the Republican Party as controlled opposition instead of an actual threat that furthers the America First agenda and opposes this progressive liberalism that is taking over our country. Why hasn't McCarthy spoken out against the vaccine mandates that Joe Biden put? You know, he is good friends with people like Frank Luntz. He rooms with Frank Luntz. Let me tell you who Frank Luntz is, and these are the kind of people that McCarthy is hanging out with. When the pharmaceutical industry got caught pushing opioids on 12-year-olds, ending in a mass-scale opioid epidemic, they hired Frank Luntz. The big pharma companies knew they were in big trouble, hired Frank Luntz to help with the messaging so they could turn it around and blame rural Americans for the opioid epidemic. And these are the kind of people that Kevin McCarthy is hanging out with, people who place blame on working class West Virginians for the opioid epidemic when the Purdue, the Sackler family, all lied to us. They're all on the same team, controlled opposition, and it is dangerous. These people need to start doing what we want or we will replace them. And I have not seen that with Kevin McCarthy. He has got to go. He cannot be House Speaker. He will destroy what is left of our party.
Kevin McCarthy is the quintessential definition of the America First enemy. He is an opposer of anything America First, because what Kevin McCarthy is Kevin McCarthy first, establishment power first. He will grift and hold on to the fundraising any way that he possibly can, and that is transferable down to any Republican who he can acquiesce to or vice versa. They are basically living under each other's desks. I mean, I hate to be crude like that, but that is what I see happening here. They're all doing each other favors and staying in power. That's why we see so many establishment rhinos that just hang around and hang around and hang around forever. So these America First, real, true America First Republicans that are coming up, like Joe Kent, for example, you have Jerome Bell out in Virginia. You have Jan Morgan in Arkansas. These are real America First patriots that need funding of the public, that need funding of the grassroots, because we, the people, are actually waking up now. And we actually have come to know more information over the last several months than we probably have in several decades. And it's a cry and shame that we have to view Kevin McCarthy this way, because the truth is Kevin McCarthy is a giant failure for America, and he's got to go.
Could you imagine how well candidates like Jerome Bell, Jan Morgan, and Joe Kent would do if they had the funding and support that Kevin McCarthy is wasting on pro-impeachment rhinos and, you know, bending the knee for Liz Cheney? He's owned by Liz Cheney. Could you imagine what a force and what a movement we would be if we put the right funding and the right support behind people who actually had our best interests in mind, as opposed to just worrying about securing their political power? That's all that Kevin McCarthy cares about. He cares about prolonging his political power, holding his seat, becoming the well-renowned House Speaker. He doesn't care that Americans are dying from the opioid epidemic. In fact, he is best friends with the guy who blamed us for it. You know, this is the character of the people that we are dealing with here. They must be replaced. I don't think McCarthy is redeemable, especially after his affairs, after failing to get the votes together to push the America First agenda when we had the majority, by the way. He had his chance and he failed. He needs to disappear.
Lauren Witzke, couldn't have put it better myself. Thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial right now. Retailers have canceled MyPillow, and to thank you for your support, I'm going to pass the savings directly on to you.
Mike is offering the sale of the year. You will receive 50% off his Giza Dream Sheets. Just go to MyPillow.com, and you will receive a set for as low as $49.99 with promo code STU. Or call 800-262-2403 and be sure to use STU at checkout.
Well, you all know Carlos Cortez as the premier sponsor here on the Stu Peters Show. He's the independent fiduciary, founder, and CEO at Cortez Wealth Management in the Sunshine State of Florida. You can do business with him from anywhere by visiting him online at CortezWM.com. Some of you who have been paying close attention know that recently he was hospitalized due to COVID-19. That was his diagnosis. He survived, not because of remdesivir and ventilators, but because his doctor, his primary care physician, Dr. DeMasi, called ahead to the hospital, made the hospital swear that they would administer the appropriate nutrients that Carlos Cortez needed. He prescribed ivermectin and all those other things. Carlos Cortez joins us now to tell his story. So your doctor, Dr. DeMasi, knew that you were going to have to go to the hospital as your oxygen levels were dropping, and he called ahead and made them swear that they would follow his protocol, and as a result, here you are.
Yeah, it was a God thing, man. Basically, he called. My oxygen, as you know, I was, the problem was I was taking care of my wife, and because of Dr. Jane and Dr. Michelle Epstein and all the awesome doctors we got on the show, I knew that ivermectin would help. I'm not vaccinated. And so my wife was able, I was taking care of my wife. I used all the ivermectin, for Sally, my wife, and she made it, she survived, but I ran out of ivermectin, so I called my pharmacy and said, hey, I need some more ivermectin. They're like, oh, well, you're going to have to wait 30 days. And, by the time she got out of quarantine, I get sick because I run out. And I'm texting Dr. DeMasi, who's like a friend, and he made it happen. He called the ER like it was a reservation at a Prime Steakhouse. I went in, Stu, and they were playing worship music. I went in and there was a sense of peace. It was like the remdesivir, I knew that would kill you. I knew they would, Tampa General, I mean, their protocol right now, I hear, is that they just trach you. They just put you on a ventilator.
Yeah, remdesivir and a ventilator. So your doctor did what doctors are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Your doctor upheld his Hippocratic oath to make sure that his treatment benefited only the patient. And as a result, here you are to tell your story. And you're absolutely right. God had you in his hands.
That's it. And so I didn't realize how bad I was. It snuck up on me. This is a real virus, man. This is not a fake. This is a real bioweapon. Whoever invented this, well, we know who invented this. Satan invented this. He knew what he was doing. I'm an athlete, man. I don't fit the description of, what a typical person that dies from COVID. And I knew I was supposed to, I knew the odds were against me. I knew the odds were against me. So,
I can't tell you. I mean, I was worried there for a period of a couple of days when I was unable to get a hold of you. I thought, oh, that's it. They put him on a ventilator. They've put him into a coma. And, I was praying that I'd be able to talk to you again, but, in the natural, I was kind of feeling like the chances of that were subsiding after everybody that has reported everything that we've heard on today. Hospitals are denying people the treatment that they are requesting, that their families, that their advocates are demanding. They're denying patients the right to try. They're violating their Hippocratic oath. And you didn't get that treatment. Thanks to that hero, Dr. DeMasi. So God bless that man.
Yeah, God bless him. I just want to give him credit. He did an awesome job. But also, I want to say thank you to you, Stu. And it's disgusting. It's disgusting, the Telegram comments of what we're getting. We need to come together. We need to come together, man. This is a spiritual battle. This is no longer a political battle. This is not about left wing, right wing. This is not about Trump or DeSantis. They took the vaccine too. So This is about a spiritual battle. And I wanted to say that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, when I was dying on that bed, this verse came to my heart. And it said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I would hear from heaven and he would forgive us and he would heal our land. America is on life support, Stu. America's on life support. Everything that we stand for, everything that has gone, I mean, everything that the American spirit is not even there anymore because people are in such fear right now, man. Yeah. You know, it's the fear is paralyzing everybody, but the cross breaks the fear. The cross breaks the fear. And so people, when they hear the truth, the Bible says that when they hear the truth, they won't even know the truth because they're trying to align it with their own understanding. And that's what we need to, that's what we really need to focus on is just, we can beat this stupid virus. The Invectum, the Ivermectin, Dr. Z-Stacked. It saved my wife.
Yeah.
She was able to walk away.
These people know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. If we can get the word out, that's what we need to do. And that's what we try to do here every day. I'm running up against a hard break. You know how this thing goes.
Yeah.
God bless you. God bless Dr. DeMasi. And for those people for actually abiding by what he said to do. Until tomorrow at this time, here's what's up to it, here's what's down to it, here's to any way that you can get to it, here's to those that don't do it, may they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it, and here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. Folks, remember to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do, save the radio!